Thank you. Thank you. I love you. Thank God for each and every one of you. Look at your neighbor and just tell him, you look really good today. Come on. Oh, come on, do it and put a little emphasis with it. Will you do that? Come on. That's a great lesson on giving. Incredible. I was last night, Patty and I, we watched the program Undercover Boss. Anybody watch that? Anybody cry like a baby? I cry. We just caught the end of it. We were out doing some stuff, just caught the end of it. And the guy, you know, the boss that got, you know, they reveal who they are, and then they bless all these people. And the guy, he's given this man all this stuff. The man looks up at him. He said, my father never said he was proud of me. I sat there, just that word, and I began to cry. And I said, my dad never said that to me. Never. I'm going to make up in my life, I'm going to say that to a lot of people. I'm proud of you. And those words, they really meant something. Then my wife, so kind she is, she reaches over. She goes, oh, honey, you're so good. You've done so well. And I thought of that when Ryan was talking this morning. You want to know what has carried me out of living in the back of my pickup truck? For those of you that don't know me, hi, I'm Marty. I was homeless when I was 17, but I'm not homeless anymore. And the real reason for that is that somebody taught that lesson that he taught this morning when I first got saved. And then we got married, said, we're going to give. We're going to do that. And can I tell you something? God said, test me now in this. See if I won't open up the windows of heaven, pour you out blessing. You won't have room enough to contain it. God will do that for you. Listen, we're not up here. We're just trying to help you. That's all. Amen. You believe that? You receive it today? Awesome. Excited for the kids to be back today. Excited Tuesday night. Back this last Tuesday. What a great night. In 2 weeks, water baptism will happen. If you've never been baptized in water, the Bible says for you and I to do that. Jesus said in Matthew 28:18, Jesus came. He said, all authority is in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go, therefore, make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe everything I've commanded them. And behold, I will be with you always to the end of the age. Acts 2:41, those who received his word were baptized. Water baptism is a part of our lives, walking with Christ. If you've given your life to Jesus and you've never been baptized in water, I want to encourage you today. There's a sign up as you're walking out this way. It'll be on the left-hand side of the table. Sign your name up. Take a step of faith. Say, I'm worried. Don't be worried. Everything will be great. The water will be warm. You know, we sanctify and we pray over it, and nobody will pick up any negative thing. Okay? Amen? Come on. So I want to talk to you just for a minute this morning about, again, moving out of a tough place with just some thoughts of God's word today. Leo, I love you. Your crying doesn't bother me a bit. He's such a beautiful little baby. And I want to encourage you with his word to help you come through and out of some tough places that, you know, our world has been in, our lives have been in. For some of you personally, it's been more difficult than others. And I want to just drop a couple thoughts into you today, just for a few moments. Psalm 34:1 says, David said, I will bless the Lord at all times. Listen to this phrase, and don't just glance over this. His praise will continually be in my mouth, in it, on it, and out of it. His praise will be in it, on it, and out of it. And by the way, can I just say, just stop and insert this? I love when you amen. I love when you woo-hoo. I love when you clap. I love. Somebody said to me this morning, you better preach it good. You better do this. I'm going to preach as good as you'll amen me this morning. Okay? He said, my soul shall make its boast in the Lord. The humble shall hear of it and be glad. Listen to this. Here it is again. Magnify the Lord with me. Oh, magnify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his name together. I sought the Lord and he heard me, and he delivered me from every one of my fears. I believe this morning at the end of this, the word of God, and as we magnify him, he will deliver you and I from anything that is taunting us, that is creating fear and unsettledness in our heart today. God's power and his word will deliver you from the effects that that wants to have over your life, over your family, over your heritage. Come on, I'm preaching better than your amen right now. God is going to do something incredible in and through your life. And last week I talked about four things, number one being the atmosphere and how important it is. If you're going to come out of a tough place, you have to cultivate the right atmosphere in your life. This is so important, and I pondered this again all week. I thought about this story that I shared out of Matthew chapter 9, where Jesus was asked by a synagogue leader to come and heal his daughter, and when he got there, the mourners were there. They were playing sad music. They were weeping and crying. This is Jesus, King of Kings, Lord of Lords. In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God. The Word was God. There wasn't anything made that wasn't made by him. This is Jesus, who was and is to come. This is Jesus, part of the Trinity, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. The triune being completely folded into one man, Jesus. He comes, and he said, the atmosphere is polluted. They have to go outside. And people who say, well, he's God. He can do anything he wants. He can do anything he wants. But there is a protocol that he operates in. And great atmosphere is what he operates in. Negative atmosphere, putrid atmosphere, polluted atmosphere keeps the power of God's Holy Spirit away and out of your situation. God wants our atmosphere to be pure and clean, because our atmosphere will influence our outcome. The second thing I said is the Holy Spirit power is everything. I don't care how strong you are, but you and I are called to be strong in the Lord. Ephesians chapter 6, finally, Paul says, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. We need God's power of his Holy Spirit working and helping us in our lives. Number three, we have to have the right information in our lives, not opinions. Not what somebody thinks, but we have to have God's word in our lives. Jeremiah 15:16. So I love this phrase. He said, When your words came, I ate them. I took them into me. They were my joy and my heart's delight, for I bear your name. And number four, you got to have the right people in your life. You have to have the right people, people that will inspire and challenge and encourage you and motivate you and pray with you and believe in you and help you when you get off, when you get a little crazy. Has anybody ever got a little crazy in here? You need the right people in your life, to not just to pat you on your back and say, oh, go ahead, have a little fun for the night, to get in front of you and say, stop. That's not going to help you. That's not going to move you into the place that you want to go. You got to have the right people in your life. And when these things begin to shape up in our lives, it begins to lead us out of these tough places in a new paradigm, a new way of thinking, a new way of doing things replaces the old in our lives. It's referred to as what is called, we've heard it, what is called a paradigm shift. It's simply, you know, it's a change in our concepts and our practices and how we do things, how something works. We get so ingrained that it's got to be this way, when God is saying, hey, I want to move you, because life is in this, what is called a continuum. It's ever changing. It's always moving. It's changing. It's evolving. It's like the seasons that we live in. They're ever so slowly. We're in beautiful weather now, and if you haven't vacationed, I pray that you do. You can watch us online. I know. I think I got a message this morning. Malachi is watching. Happy birthday, son. We love you and we miss you to the whole Martin family. But life changes. And if you and I don't change, we stay in the same place and we never come in to where God wants us to be and where he wants us to go. I haven't been to a class reunion in quite a while, but one of the last times I went, there were some people that I graduated with. They got the same haircut. They're wearing the same clothes. They're still doing the same things that they did when we were in high school. Nothing has changed. Nothing has evolved. In their mind, they think everybody else is crazy, and they're the only ones that have the truth. And God is encouraging you and I to move in a dimension and into a direction that will allow the blessing and the fullness of God and what he has planned for our lives to be on our lives, to be on not only our lives, but on our families' lives, on the ones that we love, the ones that are in our circle. And if we're going to come out of these tough places and have this experience, this paradigm shift with God, one of the things that you and I have to do is really consider the way that we talk. The Bible says in Hebrews 13:15, let us, look at the word, continually offer a sacrifice of praise to God. That is, look at this word, the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name. The fruit of our lips is more than just thoughts towards God. It is spoken unto the Lord. It is words that come out of our mouth. What proceeds from the lips is fruit in our lives, and it's based on what is inside of us. The Bible says, Jesus says, it's not what goes into the mouth, it's what comes out of the mouth that defiles a man or a woman. And God is encouraging you and I and reminding us that we have to consider the sources that we repeat in our lives. And if you're not saying what God says, then you're saying what someone else says. And we live in a culture now that is satiated with people repeating humanistic values that somebody has dreamed up that has nothing to do with the principles and the precepts that God has planned for your life and for mine. And if you don't stand in your home, in your life, and stand against that and begin to speak God's word over your life and over your family, you'll let that speak into the lives of your family, into the lives of your children, into the lives of your future, and into the life of your destiny. But I refuse to do that. I refuse because we're not like the world. We are the children of God. 1 John chapter 3 and verse 2 says, behold, now, my brothers and sisters, now we are the children of God. And we haven't seen what we are going to be, but when we see him, we're going to be like him. Because we're going to speak and say the things that he says by the fruit of my lips. Because when I speak it, when I speak his language and praise him with the fruit of my lips for everything he's done, and I just begin to say things that he says, he then begins to fashion and change and move my life in ways that may be uncomfortable at the moment, but they lead me into his everlasting arms and into the promises that he has provided and planned for my life. And I want you to know that when he does that, sometimes you move into uncharted waters, places that you have never been before. I've had people all my life say, well, we've never done it that way before. Thank God. When I'm going into a place that I don't understand, when I'm moving into a dimension that I'm afraid of, I can believe what the Word of God says in Psalm 37:23, the steps of a good man are ordered of the Lord. He delights in his ways. When I'm overwhelmed by the circumstances of life, when I'm dealing with issues that I don't have the answer for, I'm not sure what to do, I'm overwhelmed by it. Psalm 138:8 says, the Lord will perfect that which concerns me. I don't have to carry it around. Somebody said, well, this is going to happen and that bad is going to happen. I said, wait a minute. The Lord's going to perfect that which concerns me. I'm not going to live in that place. I'm going to come up to another level and I'm going to live in the power and in the word and in the fruit of my lips. Because God is working it out in our lives. And I've lived long enough to know that God is, he's not only with me in the hard times, he's with me in the good times, and he's with me in the crazy times as well. The word says in Hebrews 13:8, Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. And I talk like this. I'm going to act like this because what comes out of my mouth becomes what I eat. Proverbs 18:21, death and life are in the power of the tongue, and you will eat the fruit that you speak. Did you see that up on the screen? You just need to look at that a little bit. Death and life. Negativity, hopelessness, or joy, and fruitfulness, and blessing, and destiny is in my life. And I'm going to eat the fruit of that. I don't have to. I was taught as a young age, you've been victimized. But you don't have to stay a victim. And I'm not trying to minimize or hurt anybody's feelings when I say that. Can I just talk about me a minute? I was victimized. I was hurt. I was abused. I was neglected. I was told every negative thing about my life. And I had somebody take me and pull me aside and tell me, you don't have to live like that. Because that's not who God has called you to be. You are not a victim because you have been victimized. Yeah, you've been hurt, you've been scarred, anything. But can I tell you that God takes our test and he turns them into a testimony. And you don't have to live in what happened to you. You can live in with the fruit of your lips and what is going to happen to you. And I began to say things when I was a kid like Jesus said. I began to talk like he said. I began to say what he said about me. And when I did that, I began to see what he said about me. Mark chapter 11, 23. Surely I say to you, whoever says to the mountain, be thou removed and be thou cast into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believes the things that he says will be done, he will have whatever he says. I remember rubbing wax on the rust of my car. I said, Lord, someday I'm going to have a brand new... I thank you, Lord, that you're going to bless me with a brand new car. Asking for a new car would be like me asking for a Learjet today. Wait a minute. Maybe I should. No. I'm telling you, that's how far it was away. But God, he says, when you believe the things that you say, it will be done. You will have what you say. I know some of you say, well, I don't believe that. You know, name it and claim it, blab it and grab it. You can believe whatever you want. You can fall into that hole if you want to. I'm talking to you about a biblical concept, the fruit of your lips giving praise and thanksgiving to his name. You and I are called to talk to the mountains, to speak to them, not to get engulfed with them. What are you saying about your children, your teenagers, your family, your wife, your spouse, your husband? What are you saying about your economy, your business, how you live? What are you saying about your family, your job? How are you articulating what is happening in your life? Because whatever you're saying about it, you will eat the fruit of it. And I'm going to speak positive, healthy, holy, blessed things about those things that are in my future. When we were married, I didn't know anything about getting married. I didn't know anything about taking care of a wife. Come on up here, blonde. I didn't plan this, so I just feel it. No shoes and all. Come on, baby. Who knows anything about being married, about having a family, about taking care of a wife when your father is an abuser and he hated his wife and put her in the hospital 3 times, beat her up, kicked her into the corner, treated her like trash, and I get married, and I tell her all the time, if I was your dad, I never would have let you marry me. But I begin to say, I'm going to have a blessed home and a blessed marriage and a blessed family. God's going to work in our lives. I'm going to stay married. I'm going the long haul. I said, even if you don't like me, I said, if you ever left me, I'd find you and I'd put a ladder up to the house and I'd sing the favorite song to your life. You are the love of my life. That's what I do. I talk about it. I speak to the mountain. Joel, in chapter 3 and verse 10, he says, let the weak say I'm strong. Come on, say it. Say it today. Say I'm strong. Come on, everybody. Come on, say it again. Say I'm strong. Whether you're weak or not, you speak the fruit that you want to take place in your life. And the first thing that the enemy will want to do, he'll want to steal the words that you speak into your life and over your family. He'll want to put into your words like, I'm a failure, I'm broke, I'm defeated. I want to encourage you today, stop using those words. Stop it. Come out of that place today. Beautiful story of David and Goliath in 1 Samuel chapter 17 and verse 16. The Bible says that Goliath was taunting the armies of God. The Bible says in 1 Samuel 17, 16 that the Philistine would get up every morning for 40 days, morning and night, and he would taunt God's people, the armies of the Lord. He would 9 foot and some odd inches tall. He would stand up there and he would talk trash to them. He would talk evil to them. And isn't it interesting? The Bible says he did it in the morning and he did it at night. Do you think the enemy doesn't know when to get you, when you're the most vulnerable? He wants to speak and have you speak a negative word in your life in the morning. So your whole day is tainted. That's what he was doing here. He'd get up and talk to them in the morning. So he knew he had a hold on them for the day. And then, as the day would come to an end, he'd get up, and the last thing that they'd hear at night, you're no good, you're losers, you're weaklings, you're sissies, you're this, I don't even know everything. But it was negative trash talking. So the last thing that they heard before they went to bed is negativity. I want to speak this to everyone. Be careful with the first thing that you hear in the morning. You should, you know, as Pastor Ryan is, he has hammered this home. And some people still haven't got there. Reading and listening to the Word of God every day. Do it first thing in the morning. Take that into your first thing before anything comes into your life in the morning. Take in the power of God's Word first thing, and then last thing at night. Instead of you listening to the bad news, and instead of you listening to some nonsense, some late night baloney, turn it off. Don't allow the enemy to have a foothold in your life so you lay awake all night thinking about negativity. Listen, the enemy knows how to do it. And David, the worshiper, he comes onto the scene and he hears the giant talking trash day after day. And finally, enough is enough. I'm going to tell you, you get some worshipers and praisers together, they'll worship and praise you out of your funk. Don't you ever? That's why it's so important. Get here early. Get into the house of God. Get under the anointing of that praise and that worship. And when he heard it, the Bible says in 1 Samuel 17, 26, he stood up to that giant. He said, who is this uncircumcised Philistine that he should defy the armies of the living God? 16, 17-year-old redheaded kid standing up there. Who are you, you uncircumcised Philistine? And what was he saying? The Bible says that Abraham, God called him to circumcise every male child on the 8th day to prove in their lives and to put a mark on them that they would be in covenant with God for the rest of their life. That they would have the blessing of God with them. That the favor of God would be on their lives. That the armies of heaven would stand behind them. And when David got up and said, "You uncircumcised Philistine," he was saying, "God's not for you. He is for us and those who are around me. And I don't come to you with a spear and a sword." He said, "I come to you in the power of the name of the Lord Most High." And when he said that, the Philistine began to wiggle and said, "Why do you send a dog out to me?" And this is what David said before it ever took place. He said, "This day." It's something you need to speak to your mountain like this. Instead of getting up and saying, "Oh my gosh, what am I going to do today?" You need to do what David said. "This day the Lord will deliver you into my hand. I'm going to strike you. I'm not only going to knock you out and knock you down." He said, "I'm going to cut your head off so that everybody will know that you are nothing compared to a living, breathing God." Oh, come on, you could praise him better than that. If that was you, you'd be giving God a bigger praise. Come on, why don't we just take a praise break right here? You're better than that. You stop talking that way. You stop speaking that way. If you're born again, you need to learn to say to the mountain. You know, if you have a magnet and I put different things on this table and I put that magnet, the particles that were in some of those pieces would be attracted to that magnet and it would pull it to itself. Sometimes people have a tendency, listen to me, they're drawn to negativity. If you hear a negative conversation, you directly move to it. You're like that magnet. You're attracted to that. If you hear about loss and heartache, you're drawn to that. "Yeah, it's bad. Oh, yeah, it's so bad." And you're drawn to that. I want to encourage some of you this morning. Change that. Change that paradigm. Be drawn to God's word. Be drawn to the promises of God. Stop saying things like, "It's next. I know it's going to happen. I know the hammer's going to drop." Stop it. Stop that. And begin to speak life over your life, over your family, over the ones that you love. And watch God do a paradigm shift in your life, leading you into the way of everlasting for his glory. Come on, can you say one more amen? I got one just short point, and then I'm going to be over. Number two, make adjustments. Prepare to make them. Prepare to make an adjustment. John 21:5, Jesus calls out to them, "Friends, haven't you any fish?" I think one translation says, "You haven't caught any. You don't have any meat, do you? You haven't caught anything, have you?" And they said, "No." He said to the practiced professionals, "Throw your net on the other side, on the right side of the boat, and you'll find some." They did it. They made the adjustment. With everything in them that was going against them, they did it. Some of you, you're just so jacked up thinking this is the only way it can work. Can I just tell you today, make an adjustment. When they did it, they were unable to haul all the fish in because the number was so large. Remember how I started this with the continuum and how our lives just keeps on going, but changes are over a period of time? And Jesus stands on the shoreline and he watches Peter and a few of the disciples fish, doing it the way that has always been done and that has always worked. But now Jesus said, "I want you to adjust that a little bit." And they took his advice. And adjusting, listen to me, adjusting our lives is not defeat. Hear this. It's one of God's ways to bring incredible increase into your life. Making that adjustment in your life. We are in an instant gratification society. We think if we make the adjustment today for 2 or 3 days, that everything should change. And the reality is, it doesn't work that way. It's a little bit every day, over time, that yields the biggest results. This concept came to me. I was in Brad's class, which somebody told me, his class is on Thursday, starts at 12:15 in the Outback, but it's online as well, and it's a leadership class. And somebody said the people, they think, don't come to it because it's called a leadership class, that they think it's just for leaders. It's not. It's for everybody. It's to help people to become leaders. Amen? Hello? And so he's doing this book, Atomic Habits, and he talked about 1% change and how much of a difference that can make in your life every day. I read this story. If NASA sends a rocket to the moon and it's off 1 degree off course at the launch, it will only be off 92 feet in 1 mile. But if it stays 1 degree off course when it gets to the moon, it's 4,169 miles off course. Little differences, little adjustments make the difference. For some of you, it may be taking incredible advice from somebody that loves you, and they've been telling you, you should do this, and you're just refusing it over and over again. You don't want to make the changes. For some of you, maybe it's a bigger change. But God is drawing you and I to that. And I wanted to say this to you, and I'm closing. Sarah, come on up. What are you thinking of right now when I talk to you about making the adjustment? What comes to your mind right now? Because whatever has just come to your mind is probably the area in your life that you need to make the adjustment in. And ask him, what do I need to change? For some of you, it's your language. For some of you, it's negative habits. For some of you, it's some things that you get up every morning and, you know, the first thing you reach for is something out of a package, or it's a habit that you need to, God wants to give you the power to engage in a paradigm shift and then eat the fruit of it. Close your eyes, bow your head this morning. Just let God speak to you right now. Just one moment. Let him speak to you. What is he pointing out about your language? What is he pointing out about your adjustments? Coming out of a tough place, people want things to go back to the way they were, and that's never going to happen. Lord, as you're speaking and ministering to lives, both here and those online watching, I pray you'll continue to lead us. God, strengthen and empower us to do these things. Straighten out our language. Help us to adjust our lives to the plan and the purposes that you have. I pray healing for those who are hurting. I pray healing for those who are sick in their body today. I speak life. I speak health. I speak healing over them. Those who are emotionally facing a challenge that they never thought, I pray that you'll give them the power and the help to move through it. I pray favor and hope over every life today. In the name of Jesus, I pray.
Would you stand with us? You know this old song. Sing it with us. Thank you, Lord.
What a friend we have in Jesus.
You sound great.
All our sins and griefs to bear.